Father, as always, we thank you, Lord, this morning as we gather together to fellowship. We give you honor and praise. We say, thy kingdom come, O Lord, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, the glory, the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, Lord, and your hand is power. Your hand it is to make great, to give strength to all. Now, therefore, O Lord, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. And as we know, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple, let that light shine into our hearts this morning, giving us understanding. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I want to talk about kingdom blessings. Today, prosperity, restoration, and favor. You know, everybody loves to hear about blessings and prosperity, but let's look at it from the kingdom perspective. We've all been talking about, you know, what this kingdom of God really means for us. And we need to understand the things that are freely given to us of God in this kingdom. Certain words, key words in this title today, kingdom blessings, prosperity, restoration, and favor. I mean, there's a lot more of what God has given us in the kingdom. We've got to just figure it out. You know, so let's look at, we've been talking about the kingdom of God quite a bit. You know, let's consider blessings. I mean, when the Lord gives us something, you know, that's a blessing. The blessing of the Lord, you know, according to the book of Proverbs, chapter 10 and verse 22, we're told that, you know, the blessing of the Lord is not like any other kind of blessing. Okay, this particular, the way that God blesses us is settled to bring us goodness, make us rich, and not to add sorrow. So Proverbs 10 and 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow unto it. So, you know, when we get the blessing of the Lord, there will be no sorrow to it. And the real blessing, the devil, of course, will try to challenge that, you know, but there will be no sorrow. Testings may come, but that's not sorrow. Sorrow is different from testings. A test, when the Lord is testing you in something, there really won't be sorrow with it. You know, it'll make you stronger. It's really all it is. But at the end of the day, you're going to come out with joy. Hallelujah. Scripture says, you know, in all your ways, whatever you do, here is a powerful promise for you to remember. You know, before I go into the list of promises that deal with today's lesson, here's one for you to remember. In Isaiah 55, and verse 12, you go out with joy, be led forth with peace. You know, so even when we've talked about blessings, it may come with packaged with testings, but not with sorrow. It'll be tested, you know, and you come out, you know, with joy, bring forth peace in your heart. There will be no sorrow with it at all. And, the effect of it, God's blessings will make the mountains and the hills to break forth before you into singing. And to make all the trees of the field, you know, clap their hands. You know, that's like celebrating your success. And all good things that come from the Lord protect them in your life for joy and for peace and not for sorrow. You know, so let's keep that in mind as we go through. But here are a few scriptures that I want to share to today on this subject of blessed kingdom blessings, prosperity, restoration, and favor, so that you can know how to stand in the Word of God with these promises when you pray. We've talked about, you know, when we pray, it's not about emotions, it's not about crying up and down. You know, it's about, you know, steadfast faith in the Word of God. You stay right there, you say what God says, and you stay right with it. You know, you don't give an inch, and you don't move. And Jesus said, look, it's because of your unbelief is the reason why you don't see a lot of things happen or get these things. And so we're training ourselves, you know, to have faith. Hallelujah. Let your prayers, you know, be prayers of faith. Let your declarations, your words be words of faith. You know, we don't need to be praying emotions. We need to pray the Word of God. The Word of God. Just pray the Word of God. Say the Word of God. And stay right there with it. Remember, the Word of God will sustain itself. So, on the subject of prosperity, restoration, and favor, let's look at scriptures throughout the Bible. Tons and tons of scriptures that you can use. In fact, I will try to go through from, you know, Old Testament to New Testament of all the different places. Well, not all, many different places. Can't exhaust it. There's just too many. I just picked out, you know, maybe a couple of dozen, but there's just a lot. I mean, we could go through this and we'll be here for days, you know. So let's look at a few. Right away, we see in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. I like this one. It's a good one. He said, look, you got to remember the Lord your God wherever you are, even when he brings you into some blessing. You know, telling them when the Lord brings you into the land where you're going and so forth, you know, remember the Lord your God, because it is he that gives you the power to get wealth. Praise God. Now, there's something that we need to look at in that verse. It's a good verse for us to know. We see here the power to get wealth is given to us by the Lord. Now, this scripture doesn't exactly say that, you know, the Lord will just throw the wealth into your laps without you doing anything. He can do that if he wants. But that's not how he helps us to grow our faith. But, you know, he will give you that power. He will give you the wisdom. He will give you the strategy. You know, it's like, look, if you need furniture, the Lord will not give you furniture directly, but he might, you know, show you some timber, you know, and give you the skill to build it. And it's also like, look, the Lord told you that the rain is coming to destroy the earth, and it is showing you that you need to build an ark. That's, you know, your name is Noah, but you're going to build the ark. It's going to show you how to get and where to get the wood, give you the skills and how to build it, lead you to how you can going to find help, but you're going to build it. So the Lord will give you power to get wealth, a strategy. You know, we talked about that in this room before. A strategy gives you the power. So bear that in mind. And so when you pray, you can use that in your prayer and say, Lord, you said you will give me the power, you know, and recognize that it comes from him too when he does it. Deuteronomy chapter 28. So many blessings packed into the first 14 verses of all the things that the Lord will bless you with. Again, remember what we said about ordinances. These blessings, they are premised upon obedience. Deuteronomy chapter 28 calls out obedience. And look, if you give diligence and you know, to obey all the words of the Lord that I command you this day and so forth, you know, then, you know, Lord will add all these blessings to you. Say, if you hearken diligently on the voice of the Lord, your God, to observe and to do all his commandments that I command you this day, you know, so that's the, you know, that's the ordinance. God's ordinance to bless them was to put before them, you know, commandments that they needed to follow. You do this, out of it will come that. You know, two of them together is the promise, but that's how God set it out. The ordinance and the outcome, you know, the, and God put it out there. Will bless you. You know, all these blessings will overtake you, he said. If you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, you'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the field. Well, you can determine what blessings you want. But he has already put the ordinance out there that, you know, if you keep his commandments, you know, he will bless you. Whether you are in the city, whether you are in the field, whether you are in large cities or small cities, large state or big states, whether you are in the rural place or metro, politan areas, it doesn't matter. He said, the blessing of the Lord will find you. Even, he said, the blessed in the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of your sheep, blessed will be your basket and your store. What's the difference between basket and store? Basket is what's on your table that you're going to eat now. Store is for later. So God will bless you now. You have enough to eat now, and you will not lack even in the future. Both your basket that you're going to eat from right now, blessed, and also your store. You know, you never have to really worry about it. God's made provision for it. Now, all these blessings are ours, you know, to declare for ourselves when you pray. And you say, blessed you be your flocks of thy sheep. I mean, those people, you know, mostly they reared sheep and so on and so forth. But it's the same thing. No matter what you do, what your business is, you may be an entrepreneur, you may be this and that. There's blessings that God has already put out there. You'll be blessed when you come in. You'll be blessed when you go out. The Lord will even cause your enemies that rise up against you, be smitten before you. All the contradictions, they'll be smitten before you. They'll come out against you one way, flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command a blessing. I keep on talking about blessing, blessing, blessing. Lord, command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. So you determine what kind of blessing you want. He's already put it out there that you'll get it. You know, if that thou will hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. And in all that thou settest thy hand to do, the Lord will bless you. He will bless you in the land that the Lord is giving you. The Lord will establish you a holy people unto himself, even, you know, spiritual things. He will bless you in spirit, not just physical things, you know, holiness unto the Lord. He will bless you in that, in walking with God. He will bless you, you know, to know how to walk with God. That's right. That's what he means by in establish you unto himself as a holy people. The Lord will, you know, make you to walk in all his ways. That's right. And all the people of the earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord. And, you know, they wouldn't be afraid of you. The Lord make you plenteous in goods. Fruit of thy body, fruit of, I mean, so, you know, not just barely enough, but plenteous is what he said. And all of these things are based on kingdom principles. You follow, you know, the ordinances of the kingdom, and you follow his rules and everything, and all these other things will be added to you. Jesus taught the same thing. Now, the Lord will open unto you his good treasure. I like that one. Verse 12. The heaven will give you rain and the land bless all the work of your hand and so forth. So that you'll be a lender and not a borrower. Make you the head and not the tail. be above only and not beneath. If that happens. So he always keeps going back, you know, show you these are ordinances. You know, ordinance will have instructions. You follow them, and now this is the outcome. You know, and the Lord will bless you if you hearken to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to do and to observe. To observe and to do. Don't go aside from any of these words. You know, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right, don't go after other gods, don't follow your own ways. Set nothing before the Lord. Let the Lord be your chief joy. Hallelujah. You know, and then it would do all these good things unto you. Amen. Now, we're not going to read the negative part of that chapter, which will come upon them if they don't follow. But let's believe that we are of them that follow on to know the Lord. So these are tremendous blessings. You can claim and declare any of it for yourself at any time when you are believing God. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. The Lord promised you good success through meditating on God's word and doing all that is written therein. He said, look, this book of the law will not depart out of your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, and then you have good success. You know, so again, that's an ordinance. You do this, then that. You do this and that, you know, and so on. You will prosper also. Psalm 1 verse 3. You flourish like the palm tree in season and out of season. What does that mean? Well, first, here's the ordinance. You walk in his ways, not in the ways of the Lord. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like, see, so this is the outcome. When you're doing those things, this is the outcome. Hallelujah. You'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers, you know, of living waters. You know, your leaves will not even wither, you know, because, do you know when leaves wither? It's out of season. You know, some places where there are seasons, different weather seasons, like here in the U.S., some places have like four seasons, and during the fall, which is kind of out of season for the trees, you know, they begin to wither and all their trees fall away. All their leaves fall away. You know, well, he said, look, when you are doing the will of the Lord, you will never be out of season. You're connected to the source. It's like you're right next, like the tree is right next to the supply of water, and it will never lack. You will never be out of season. You're always in season. Praise the Lord. Tremendous blessings and promises for us. Now, Psalm 16 and verses 5 and 6. These are things you can claim and declare for yourself. He said, the Lord is the portion of your inheritance. That's right. It comes from the Lord. The lines falling onto you in pleasant places. You declare that for yourself. Say, look, I have a goodly heritage. I know that I am a prince in the kingdom of God. You know, that means, you know, all the good things in the kingdom are coming to me. You know, and has also established his word upon me. Hallelujah. You know, prince is the one that's next in line to inherit all these things. In a way, you are both kings and also princes, you know, step into that which is yours. Declare that the lines are falling to you, pleasant place. You have a goodly heritage. Inheritance of the Lord is yours. You know, Psalm 90 verse 17 is a beautiful one. I love this. Every one of you should claim this for yourself every day. You know, let the beauty of the Lord our God shine upon us. Huh? And let him establish the work of our hands. Yea, even the work of our hands, let him bless it. Psalm 90 verse 17, powerful scripture. Well, you know, use it in prayer. Declare, I say, well, your word has said your beauty will shine upon me and that you will establish the work of my hands. You will even bless the work of my hands. You declare, you know, this is how we get blessings from the Lord. Psalm 106 and verse 4. The Lord will remember you with his good favor. Ha! Hallelujah. We've talked about favor in this room. The king's favor. When he, it's just like the king can make a decree just for you. That's a king's favor. And if you know how to walk in his ways and delight yourself in the Lord, your God, your king, and then he will command deliverances for you, command his good favor for you. At Psalm 106 verse 4. Psalm 122 and verse 7. The Lord promises you peace and prosperity in your sphere of influence. Powerful scripture. Read that and use it for yourself. The Lord promises you peace and prosperity in your sphere of influence. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, everywhere that you go, if you trust the Lord for that, he will do it for you. Let's read it together. He says, peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. So that means, you know, well, the places where you walk to and fro, that's your sphere of influence. He promised you prosperity in it. Whether you're in the marketplace, whether we are on the job, you know, whether, whatever. This is a powerful scripture. Within your boundaries. And wherever you go, you know, in your palaces, remember you are kings and so forth. You walk the length and breadth through it. The Lord said, look, he will give you prosperity and peace. That's right. Now, because the Lord promised it, we can believe for it if we keep the ordinance that's behind that. Now, we don't need to pursue these things. We just do his will, and these things will fall in place. You know, that's, you know, what we taught yesterday. Psalm 128 and verse 2. You will eat the labor of your hands, and you will be happy. That's right. You're blessed. You know, I mean, it's a good thing to eat the labor of your hands. You know, for a man to do good and eat all the labor of his hands, it's the gift of God. You know, I mean, if you are going to labor, you might as well enjoy it. I mean, what's the point of being burdened in laboring to the point that you are so heavy laden? Jesus said, look, if you are in that condition, come unto me and I will give you rest. Yeah, we can walk with our hands. That's good. Scripture admonishes us to walk. If any man doesn't walk, let him not eat. But when you work, you must eat the benefits of it. You know, you cannot slave away, you know. I mean, God gave Adam something to do, but it wasn't to slave away. Put him in the garden. God already made everything. Just put in the garden just to dress it, you know. Just dress the thing. The thing is already working in. For you, just, you know, manage the thing, basically. It's what God was telling Adam. Just manage this thing. You know, it's already there for you. Not that you will slave over it. The slaving over it came after they, you know, they disdained the ordinances of the kingdom. They disdained the word of the king, and they went for the word of the devil. And that's when the slaving and the hard labor came. Before that, it was like, look, just dress the thing. It's already there. Just manage it. Praise the Lord. So the Lord will give you the grace to enjoy the fruit of all your labor and you'll be happy therein. There are some powerful promises in the book of Job. Chapter 22. You know, from like verses 23 to 27, you know, it starts talking about, even if you read it couple of verses earlier, it starts talking about if you delight yourself in the Lord, you acquaint yourself with Him, delight yourself in the Lord, and, you know, be at peace. You know, that's when these things will come your way. Praise God. Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Job 22 and 21. Thereby good blessings and all the good things shall come unto thee. You know, now if thou return to the Almighty, you know, that's like following His ordinances, then thou shalt be built up and so on. Thou shalt lay up gold as dust. The gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. You know, the Almighty shall be your defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Well, all of that because you are delighting yourself in Him, acquainting yourself with Him, you are receiving instruction from His mouth, you are laying His words up in your heart. You can read that in verse 22. And you receive His instruction, you lay His words up in your heart, then all these things be added unto you. This concept is throughout the Bible. And you can read all of that chapter from that verse 21 to the end and see all of the things. It also talks about decreeing a thing in verse 28. You can decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. You know, because first you've aligned yourself with His word and His will. And you understand what He has already said, and then you just decree the thing that He has already said. So, a lot of promises for us to use for ourselves. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 4 says that the Lord will bless you with favor and good understanding before God and man. And why will He do that? Well, again, you know, that these things, God is a God of principle. Everything has, you know, premise and condition behind it. You know, He said, look, forget not my law. Let your heart keep my commandments. And then all out of that will come length of days, long life, and peace shall be added to thee. You know, mercy and truth. He said, keep them around your neck. Follow His ways. Do the bidding of the Lord. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of man and God. Now, we all want favor. We want the blessing of the Lord. But rather than seeking the favor and the blessing of the Lord, seek to do His will. And these other things, and when you're doing His will, then declare that you, the Lord said, when I do His will, these things will be added. And declare it. It'll be added. Praise God. It'll be added unto you. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not your understanding. You know, and the Lord will direct your paths and so forth. The Lord will even give you health. Say it shall be health. You know, if you depart from evil, it shall be health to your navel, marrow to your bones, and so on and so forth. So, There's a lot of blessings in that chapter, even talking about honoring the Lord with your substance. That's right. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. Well, that's how your barns will be filled with plenty. You want your barns to be filled with plenty? You want increase more and more? Well, each time you get increase, you honor the Lord with the first fruits. That means of, you know, take it off the top, not off the bottom. You know, like a lot of people that give tithes today, they don't even understand the principle of it. You know, if you are going to do it, then you better do it right. You know, it's the first fruits, not last fruits, especially right here. Many people give last fruits. And after you've paid all your bills, after you paid all your taxes, after you put money away in your health savings plan and the 401k and 5013 and whatever else, then whatever is left of it, then you say, well, I'm going to give the Lord a tenth of that. You are robbing the Lord that way. you know, he doesn't force you to do it. But if you're going to do it, you better do it right. So it's first fruits, not last fruits. You know, if you earn $1,000, you give him, if you want to give the 10th, it'll be off your gross, not off your net. It doesn't, you know, most people don't understand that. Anyway, that's not my subject today, but I put it out there. These ordinances are there. You know, you got to do things right in order to claim the real blessings. You know, if you earn $1,000 and your paycheck is 300 and something, you're giving $30 of the 300, you know, just because you've paid your taxes, you paid your rent, you paid all of this, and all you have left is this, and then you give tithe off of that. That's wrong. First fruits of your increase. You know, the moment your increase comes in, you put aside that for the Lord first, before anything else. And give the Lord honor that way. That's how real blessings will come unto you. I have proven that, and I know it works over the years. Now, listen to this. if you, you know, this is the one I gave you before in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. If you believe in the blessing of the Lord, then know that it's coming to make you rich and without sorrow. That's Proverbs 10 and 22. Also, Proverbs 12 and 2 says, a good man, well, we're good only in right standing with God, will obtain favor from the Lord. And so, you know, these are the things you stand in prayer. You know, this was the kind of prayer that Hezekiah prayed when Isaiah came to tell him to set his house in order, that he was going to die of the sickness. And he said, Lord, you know how I have walked in the integrity of my heart and I've kept your ways. That's right. That's the ordinance. He understood it. You know, so then, therefore, now I ask you this, you know, spare my life. I'm not ready to die. I don't want to die. And the Lord said, yeah, you have indeed done that. So here is this. Praise the Lord. So that's how it works. A good man will obtain favor from the Lord. As Proverbs chapter 16, you know, a good man will obtain favor from the Lord. That was Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, the Lord will establish your thoughts. You know, even making your thoughts to prosper, the things that you are thinking, the things that God drops in your mind, you know, he will establish them because you have already done something. And what is the something that you did? It's right there in that verse. You committed your works unto him. And there's always, you know, something that follows, some good thing follows when we acknowledge the Lord. You commit your works unto him, and he will establish even your thoughts. Hallelujah. These are blessings. These are real kingdom blessings. This is the real way you get the true blessings. Now, Psalm 18, you know, and verse 22. Now, it's even a different kind of blessing for everybody, you know, that needs it. Praise the Lord. I'm being distracted by someone's mic is open. Please close your mic. Okay. Proverbs 18 and 22. Sorry about that distraction for a minute. Proverbs 18 and 22. This is a good promise, even if you are in this situation. You know, finding a spouse and all of these things. You know, he that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Well, if you get a husband, that's a good thing too. And a favor It's a favor of the Lord. Bring favor with it. You know, praise the Lord. You know, if you are walking in, I believe that two people who are walking in their ways that are meant for each other, I mean, walking in the ways of the Lord, rather, who are meant for each other by the hand of the Lord, you're walking on your path, you're walking with God, you're doing His will, and the gentleman or the woman, they're also walking their path, doing the will. God will cause those paths to intersect. He will do it. And it'll bring, you know, even more favor from the Lord, you know, with that. Praise the Lord. It won't bring any sorrow with it too. If you wait on Him and let Him do it right, it'll be joyful and it'll be a blessing. Praise the Lord. Now, more scriptures. Let me go through this quickly. There are many more scriptures that I have to give here. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 45, you know, we've talked about this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We started to talk about the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Well, it comes only to those that know how to create wealth for their kingdom. Not for, you know, just consuming upon ourselves. This man, Cyrus, was someone that the Lord had handpicked to do something for the kingdom, to help bring restoration or the rebuilding of the ruins, you know, Jerusalem, the temple, and so forth. And the man, because of the mandate that was upon him, the Lord said, look, I'm going to give you these treasures and these riches so that you can do this thing, you know. So there's a hidden lesson in there. When it was in David's mind to build something for the Lord, even though the Lord said, well, you won't quite be the one to do it, your son after you will do it, yet the Lord gave David tremendous supply that he was able to put it together, you know, treasures without measure, gold and silver, precious things that he laid aside for Solomon to do the building. Well, there was a mandate in their heart, in David's heart. And thought in David's heart. And God said, well, you know, it's really your son that's going to do it, but I'm going to give you treasures to prepare for that. You know, so creating wealth for the kingdom, when we understand it, that's where the true riches come into play. We dealt with that a couple weeks ago. Now, in the book of Isaiah 40, the same Isaiah 45 and verse 14, this is the transfer of wealth that we talked about before. The labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Ethiopia. God said, well, I'm bringing it your way. Hallelujah. You know, so there are scriptures. These are scriptures that can back up these things that we've been talking about. The labor of Egypt, merchandise of Ethiopia, men of Sabians, you know, come unto you, the dromedaries and so forth, come into you on chains and all of that. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 48, verse 17. I love this one. The Lord is the one that will teach you how to profit. You know, so you may be doing business or whatever. If it's not profiting, well, you need to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, you said that you would teach me how to profit. It'll give you strategy. Glory to God. The right way to profit. You know, it comes from actually knowledge and understanding that gives you an advantage. You know, God will give you some knowledge, some understanding that, you know, others in your field, your competitors don't have. And they give you an advantage, teach you how to profit. You know, this is what God promised. Hallelujah. Now, we read something similar to this before in Isaiah chapters, you know, we read it before when he said you will eat the fruit of your you know, your hand, the work of your hands. We read the God, you know, here's another one that's talking about, you know, you eat the fruit of your own labor. Isaiah 62 verses 8 and 9. So when you are working or doing your business and things are not moving right, you come to the Lord with these scriptures and you say, Lord, I mean, you said that I will eat the fruit of my own labor, and, you know, the devourers will no longer devour that for which I have labored. You know, so you begin to use these promises for yourself. You know, say the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give your corn to be meat for your enemies, and for the sons of the strangers will not drink your wine, for the which you have labored. But you which have labored it, you that have gathered it, you are the one that will eat it. You will praise the Lord and you bring it together in the court of my holiness. You know, so these are promises. Look, we will not labor in vain. You know, I mean, you're not, you know, back in the days of Gideon, you know, and so forth, the Midianites waited for them to do all the work, do all the threshing, and then come in and, you know, bully them and get everything. God said, no, I will no longer give your corn to be meat for your enemies. You are the one that's doing the work. You are the one that's going to get the blessing. You are not going to do all this work and let it fall into the lap of someone else. Lord said, well, you know, I'm not going to let that happen anymore. So you can quote these scriptures for yourself, you know, to when you're looking for a changing situation. The heaven looks brass. You're doing this and doing that, but it seems like it's amounting to nothing. Somebody else seems to be the one profiting from all of it. Come to the Lord with these scriptures. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 11, everyone knows this one. The thoughts the Lord has towards you are always for good and never for evil. You know, so don't entertain evil thoughts. That's not from the Lord. The Lord thinks good concerning you and he'll give you an expected end. There's something in the mind of the Lord, and if you join your mind to the mind of the Lord, he will show you things to come. Jesus said that concerning the Holy Spirit. In John 16 and 13, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, among many other things, he will show you things to come. That's the expected end. He'll show it to you and you'll believe it. And, you know, the Lord will give it to you. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 17. Powerful scripture concerning healing and restoration of our health. He said, the Lord said, I will restore health unto you and I will heal you of your wounds. You know, we were using this in the scripture. I mean, we're using this scripture in this room. We've been quoting it. Our brother that was hospitalized, you know, it's physical. It covers physical. It covers emotional as well. I'll restore your health, whether it's even mental health, whether it's spiritual health, spiritual wellness, physical wellness. I will restore that to you. I will heal your wounds. You know, there's some wounds, you know. Some people have been wounded. Could be physically, an accident could create wounds. That's physical. Could also be emotional. Whatever it is, these are the promises of God. We can claim these promises for ourselves. Now, restoration. Joel chapter 2, verses 23 to 27. Restoration means you had something before, you know, that was lost or stolen or somehow either misplaced or whatever, you know, or somebody usurped it from you, then the Lord will cause you to get it back. That's what restoring means. You can't restore what you don't never had. But this is something you had. This is something Jesus purchased for you, like your healing and so on. And then all of a sudden the devil brings sickness. Well, the Lord will restore your health. Say, I will restore unto you the years with the canker worm has eaten. You know, I've been, you know, days of trouble, months and years that you've gone through hardships. And sometimes people are so weary, you know, gone up against all of these things. You put up your best effort forward and it looks like you're just worn out. The Lord said, look, I will restore unto you, you know, you're going to have a time of quietness. The cankerworm comes in to eat up what you do. The palmerworm, the locust, the caterpillar, they come to eat all these things up. But the Lord said, I will restore and my people shall never be ashamed. That part I love so much because he said it back to back twice in two verses that run right up against each other. That my people shall never be ashamed. Ye shall eat in plenty. He said in verse 26 of Joel 2. And you'll be satisfied. You praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. That's a promise that you should latch onto. My people shall never be ashamed. You know, isn't that like one of our favorite verses in Isaiah 50 and 7? How the man, this was his declaration of faith, you know. I know that the Lord God will help me. That's right. And then, therefore, will I not be confounded. And therefore, have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I will not be ashamed. And you can state that claim for yourself anytime. Because he said it here too. My people shall never be ashamed. And then read the next verse, verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. Well, I'm in the midst of the church. I'm in the midst of my people. And that I am the Lord your God and even the Lord your King and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. I mean, he says this again and again. My people shall never be ashamed. Hallelujah. Behold, I lay in Zion. Ah, Grebo Shatori Alabas. I lay in Zion, he said, a rock. You know, he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. And they shall not make haste even. You are not going to be confused. You know, you are going to be at rest. You can begin to claim, you know, these promises for yourself. Hallelujah. The Lord will watch over that word to perform it for you. Now let me give you quickly a few more of these scriptures. Round things up. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12. The Lord promises even double blessings to those that are trusting him. He calls them prisoners of hope. Well, you know, those are the afflicted that put their trust in the Lord. That's what prisoners of hope mean. You may be afflicted, but when you put your trust in the Lord, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 12 tells you that the Lord has a plan, you know, not only to bring you out of there, but to double unto you some things. Here's what it says, you know. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare unto you that I will render unto you double. Praise the Lord. You know, so the Lord, you know, when you may be afflicted, but you put your trust in the Lord, scripture calls you prisoners of hope. And God's coming to you. And he will give a blessing. He will leave a blessing. Double even at that. Praise the Lord. All right. Let me finish this up quickly. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. God promises prosperity through your tithing as well. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. And I already showed you how to do the tithes correctly. That there may be, you know, meat in my house. And prove me now, herewith saith the Lord, if I will not rebuke the devourer for you and open the windows of heaven for you. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so God can do all of that. So when you're doing that, put a claim on it. You know, put a claim on it. I bring my tithes and the first fruits of my increase to you, Lord. And here's what you said you will do. You know, put a claim on it. Hallelujah. Now, 3 John chapter 2 says God wants you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. Wants you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. So remember that, you know, you can say, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me, that I prosper and be in health. And so if there's anything to the contrary, you reject it. You state your claim based on the word of God. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, we're told that Jesus traded places with us so that, you know, we may have the true riches of God. It's powerful, powerful scripture, you know, and if you can get a hold of this understanding, for ye yourselves know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, though he was rich, I mean, he was owner of everything, really, heaven and earth, yet for your sakes, he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. A powerful trading of places scripture. And I wanted to reserve this one toward the end so that you don't forget it. Jesus gave up everything for you so that you may have everything. Hallelujah. It's powerful. And so, you know, when we're going through situations that are contrary to goodness and wellness and prosperity and health and favor for us, claim these promises for yourself. And when you are looking for scriptures to base your prayer on, when you're trying to practice the steps of the Faith Lab, these are promises that can help you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able to make you have all sufficiency in all things. You know, have sufficiency in all things. You know, I mean, not, you know, I mean, you don't need to lack here and there. He's able to make you have sufficiency in all things. And there's a premise before that too. You know, if you are a cheerful giver, you give cheerfully. Well, you know, he said, Lord, the Lord, he loves the cheerful giver. You know, and who's a cheerful giver? Well, someone that gives cheerfully. The Lord loves that. And he says, look, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. And, you know, in every way, what you are proposing your heart, not grudgingly, that's how you should give. You know, because God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things might abound unto every good work. That's right. You know, God will make it so. You are dispersed abroad, giving to the poor, and so on. So now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Hallelujah. So every time you give, you know, there's a prayer here that the Lord will multiply right back. Praise God. You know, and this is not, you know, right here, he's not talking about tithes and offerings. He's talking about giving. You know, so this is not just about tithes. This is about giving. When you give, God loves a cheerful giver. You know, just give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. Luke 6 and 38. I'm not talking about tithing. I'm talking about giving. You can, when you give, if you give sparingly, well, you're also going to reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you will also reap bountifully. Because, you know, when it is time, when you've done giving, then one day people will give unto you. That's how things work. You know, you cast your bread upon many waters, and in due time, you come back to you. You know, when you give, God will raise people to give back to you. That's how things work in the kingdom. You know, in the kingdom, those who have more, they give. So that those who have less have a little more. And then, you know, you just find out that, well, he that has gathered much did not have anything left over, and he that gathered little did not lack. I mean, guys, God will give you more sometimes for the benefit of you helping someone else. There really isn't any reason for God to give us more than we need. All he has to do is give us everything we need. And he's already promised to do that. So when he gives you much more than you need, as I have taught in this room, there's a reason for it. It's not for you to go on a spending spree and squander everything away. There is a reason for it. One, it may be he's, you know, giving you an opportunity to put something away. Just like Joseph taught in Egypt, in the years of plenty, he said, put away 20%, one-fifth, you know, and then you have some store in the years of adversity and scarcity. So he gave us that wisdom. Also, it means when you have more than you need, the Lord will show you where there might be a need and you can help someone else. You know, this is the reason why the Lord gives us more than we might need. So the Lord will cause all grace to abound toward you. You will have sufficiency for all things. You will not lack. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. This is a powerful one also. God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not according to your job. Not according to your paycheck. Not according to even the money you don't have. Not according to the money that's in your bank or not there. You know, but according to his riches. And if you can understand that, what that means is, look, whether you have money in the bank or not, whether you have a job or not, and you will have a job, but whether you have or not, you're connected to the source. He will supply your needs. You know, he has a way of doing it. And so all we need to do is focus on him, not on our needs. I've taught that in this room about need consciousness, the ills and dangers of need consciousness, how that prevents us from walking with God with a perfect heart. You know, so in this journey of walking with God, as we deal with things around us daily, we got to deal with these things. We have needs. I got to pay my rent. I got to do this. It's stuff that we have to deal with. These lessons are designed to help us deal with these things with the kingdom perspective. Always knowing that the kingdom of God is first. That's what the Bible says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6 and 33, and his righteousness, understanding his ordinances and how to be in alignment and in right standing with God. When your purpose is that, and that's the primary thing in your heart, Jesus said, all these other things, which things? The things that I've been talking about earlier in that chapter. Like, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be cold? How shall I pay my rent? How shall I pay my school fees? How shall I send my kids to school? You know, all these other things shall be added. How? Well, that's not my concern. But it will happen. And you know, when you're going through some hardship and you're trusting the Lord with these scriptures and you're declaring them, you'll find out a year from now, or a year from that time, you look back, you will see, wow. You know, during the time that you were there, you didn't know how you would get out of it. It seemed like, you know, it's hard. And the devil tried to take advantage of that situation to get you to be micro-focused on your needs rather than focused on him, the Lord. You know, but if you, once you figure out how to shake that off, you know, a few months go back and you look back and say, my goodness, see what the Lord has done. Glory to God. May not be overnight, but Jesus never promised anything overnight, you know. But, you know, in the long haul, at the end of the day, you're coming out on top. You will be victorious. The blessing of the Lord will be with you. The blessing of the Lord is in the tabernacles of the righteous. So his blessings will be with you. You can claim them every day. And as you use these scriptures and always, you know, in your declarations and prayer before the Lord, then, you know, you will begin to see the righteousness of the Lord. God will begin to bring to pass the things that he promised, because the Lord is righteous. You know, he's righteous and holy in all his ways. So when we do his will, when we follow his precepts, we are going to be blessed. Praise the Lord. Now, let me wrap this up with Psalm 118 and verse 14. And we're going to pray for ourselves with some of these scriptures today. And next time I'll give you another set of scriptures that deal with some other subjects. These ones were dealing with prosperity, restoration, and favor. And but we will have these scriptures to use for yourself. Remember, you always start with the Word of God. So, the voice of rejoicing, Psalm 118, verse 15. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. So, excuse me. The voice of rejoicing will always be in your tabernacles. That's what you should claim from the Lord. If you are walking in righteousness before the Lord, right? And the voice of rejoicing will always be in your tabernacles. Praise God. Now, let's pray and use this scripture also. As Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 19. This is another powerful promise for you. Praise the Lord. Use these scriptures for yourself daily. Out of them, he said. You know, I use these scriptures for any congregation that I'm a part of. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that shall make merry. And I will multiply them. I use it for my family also. And they shall not be few. Lord said he will multiply you. You will not be few. And I also will glorify them, and they shall not be small. Praise God. You know, and then here's a blessing. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation, see, talk about your family, talk about your congregation, shall be established before me. And I will even punish, you know, I will punish them that oppress them. But he said, out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. And the voice of them that shall make merry. And I say also the voice of them that shall continually say, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. These are the blessings that you should claim for yourself. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, give us the grace to lay hold on these promises. Hallelujah. Lay hold on them and use them to our advantage in the name of Jesus. Teach us, Lord, to observe the ordinances of the kingdom, that the outcomes associated may be our blessing and our portion and our inheritance. Lord, as we daily pursue the things of God, these other things you said shall be added unto us. And so let it be according as your word has spoken. I give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.